Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This is the Bears Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bears Wire editor, Alyssa Barbieri.
Alyssa, we had Packers, Vikings, Saints, Buccaneers, Rams, Cowboys, all these great week one matchups that everyone was so excited about. I don't know if people were as excited about Bears, Lions in an empty stadium, but that was the game of the week. What a game. What a comeback for the Bears. What's your take on this 27-23 comeback victory, 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter? That was wild.
I mean, it was pretty ugly the first three quarters. I actually had my game story written out, and then the fourth quarter happened, and I had to trash it and write it over.
Oh, the new lead. Yeah, I've been there.
But I'll take it. I mean, it was ugly, and, you know, looking at the last play when DeAndre Swift dropped the ball, I mean, the Bears should have lost that game, but I mean, a win is a win, and I'll take some luck.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's the first one in 7 years that they've opened with a win, right? And even Matt Nagy was talking about that. He's like, hey, man, this is great.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a stat that you don't want to have. And I didn't even realize, thinking back to it, but yeah, they haven't won a season opener in 7 years. And it looked like they weren't going to win that one right there. So, I mean, you know, it was impressive overall, because they looked down and it just looked like it was a foregone conclusion they were going to lose. And you got to give it up for their fight and resiliency there. I mean, they never gave up and they battled back, and what a finish.
100%. Like I said, Bears-Lions, the game of the week. Nobody would have predicted that. Nobody would have predicted it, but that's what we got. I want to talk about this game so much, but we have some stuff going on. We should be celebrating a win, Alyssa. Chicago should be just reveling in this unbelievable comeback and a little bit of a gift by the Lions and Matt Stafford. Let's be honest. They gave us a gift there in Bears country. Mm-hmm. But what is going on with Allen Robinson? There's all this talk going all over the place, including on the Bears wire. He's not happy with his contract. I'm hearing trade rumors. Like, what do you know? What are you hearing? What's the latest on Allen Robinson's situation?
Man, things really just like kind of exploded here on Tuesday, you know, with talk. Allen Robinson, basically, he erased all of his photographs or any like references to the Bears on Twitter and on Instagram. And everyone's like, okay, what's going on
That's
here?
Never a good sign.
And then never a good sign. This happened with Jordan Howard a couple of years ago when he did the exact same thing. And obviously it's more alarming with Allen Robinson because he's your best offensive player. And you're like, okay, you don't want your best guy to be unhappy. But I mean, it's no secret that Robinson has been frustrated with these contract extension, you know, pickups. Like, they're not getting a deal done, which is kind of surprising because Ryan Pace is somebody, the GM, is someone who gets these extensions done. He gets them done right before the season. He makes sure the guys that deserve to be paid are getting paid. And there's just something that it's just like they're not meeting eye to eye here. And it's frustrating. And like you said, it got to the point where, I mean, it just broke like 10 minutes before we jumped on here that Allen Robinson requested a trade. And it's just like it's ridiculous. It's gotten to that point. And you have Tariq Cohen and Darnell Mooney going on Twitter publicly advocating, and Cordell Patterson, of course, advocating for him to get an extension. And Ryan Pace's hand is forced here. I still feel like a deal is going to get done. I feel like Robinson is using everything that he can to, you know, bring awareness to this. And I feel like he's going to force Pace's hand. But I mean, it's ridiculous that it's gotten to a point like this, because he is the best offensive player on your team. He put up 1,000 receiving yards in one of the worst offenses in the entire league last year. He's a great player on the field, off the field. And it blows my mind that this is it, that it's gotten to this point, because it should be, I mean, if Pace doesn't get this done, he needs to be fired, because you can't let a great player like Robinson walk.
You know, for me, it's like, okay, so I'm not necessarily blaming Robinson or Pace, but like I'm blaming someone for this being the conversation we're having after that game on Sunday, right?
Yes.
I mean, what a comeback for the Bears. And again, they should be reveling in this moment, but I don't understand why this is blowing up today. How did it get to this point? Like, what, get us up to date on Robinson's contract situation now. How egregious is it?
Well, I mean, he's entering the last year in his deal, and I think that it blew up today. It's funny that it did, because you think about how bad the Bears offense looked for three quarters. Now imagine that without Allen Robinson bailing the quarterback out.
Good point.
It's crazy to think. Like, it should be like, hey, Pace, a no-brainer. You need to sign him. Look at how bad things could be. But, you know, it's been like this for a while. At the end of last season, Robinson made it clear that he wants to stay in Chicago for the long term. He talked about being the Bears' all-time leading receiver, wanting to make Chicago home. Like, you don't talk about that if you want to get out. So it's more like the negotiations have not been where he needs them to be. You need to pay him like the receiver, like the number one receiver that he is. And to be fair, I mean, you look at Keenan Allen getting his extension. If Pace hadn't wasted so much time, you might have been able to get Robinson for a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. But now you can't. You have to pay him $20 million a year. And the Bears can do that. They have the cap space to do that.
They have the cap space, but it's like, just like with any business right now with COVID-19, do they want to spend the real money, even if they have the cap space? And I think that might be something that the Bears are quibbling over, because it's hard to explain why Robinson hasn't gotten this deal. When, as you just said, Alyssa, he was talking about it last year. Like, they've had all offseason to do this. And week two, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. I'm hoping by the next time we talk, Ryan, that, you know, the Bears have gotten a deal done. But, you know, I don't know at this point.
Yeah. So what stuck out to you the most? Like, what should Bears fans be, what should they focus on positive? You know, what should they be celebrating right now about that comeback? What was your favorite part about it?
I think one of my favorite parts was that the Bears are finally able to get the run game going. So they showed that they can run the football and that they can run it effectively. They had 149 yards on the ground, but they averaged 5.3 yards per carry, which was something that they did not do last year. And you have to give it up for the offensive line. It was crazy, because the things that concerned me most, aside from the quarterback, looked really good, actually. And then there were some concerns like on the defensive side of the ball, which we'll get to. But, you know, the offensive line, they were open up lanes for all the running backs. You know, they had no penalties, which I think that's the first time in 7 years that's happened, which should tell you a lot for this offensive line. And then I gave up one sack, but I was really impressed with the run game. And rookie cornerback Jalen Johnson, I mean, aside from his welcome to the NFL moment where he got trucked by Marvin Jones, like, he had an amazing debut. I think he allowed only two catches. He had two pass deflections. Both of them were huge plays in this game. The first one popped the ball up and Kyle Fuller caught the interception. And then on the very last play of the game where he tipped the ball up and game over. So, I mean, you know, Jalen Johnson looks like he's going to be an absolute stud. Anthony Miller had the kind of breakout, like, everyone wanted to see what Anthony Miller could do in the beginning of the season. Could he get off to a fast start? And I think that he showed that. He had two just clutch catches, including the game-winning touchdown. You know, I'm really excited to see what he can do, hopefully opposite Allen Robinson.
Yeah, and so much more to talk about this game. We'll be right back on the Bears Wire podcast.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie. I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from thehuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with thehuddle.com here to talk to you about some fantasy football sleepers for week two. After a heartbreaking loss last week in which Philip Rivers cost his team the win, he takes on a Minnesota Vikings defense that was completely destroyed by Aaron Rodgers in week number one. No team gave up more fantasy points to quarterbacks last weekend. Minnesota has an inexperienced group of cornerbacks, and a veteran like Philip Rivers will find a way to get it done. It may not be completely pretty, but expect close to 300 yards and three touchdowns. Tampa Bay running back Ronald Jones has the best matchup in fantasy football entering week two. Carolina was gashed by Josh Jacobs for three touchdowns last week after being the worst fantasy run defense in 2019. Tom Brady needs help and it has to come on the ground. San Francisco signed wide receiver Mohamed Sanu this week, but it's Kendrick Bourne who's the better play at the New York Jets, a defense that gave up the second most catches and third most reception yards to wide receivers last week. Finally, Marquez Valdes-Scantling faces the Detroit Lions. He scored a touchdown last week from Aaron Rodgers and faces a Detroit defense that gave up a game-costing bomb of a touchdown to Anthony Miller late last week. Expect Aaron Rodgers to challenge downfield. For more fantasy news and analysis, check out thehuddle.com.
It's very different right now down on that sideline with no fans there. And so what happens is, what I think we started noticing was, the only way that the energy was going to jump up was if we created our own. So there was times where it reminded me of like a high school basketball game when the fans start in the stands, they start trying to get loud and jump up and down and get loud for the quarterback. That was happening in that last drive, just to try to make some crowd noise from the sideline. But there was nothing magical said. I think what it was just us being able to move the ball in chunks offensively and get a quick score. Once we got that touchdown on offense, it just propelled the defense to say, okay, now we're down what? Now we're down 10 points, or we're down two scores. And now they went out and they did their job. and we got that tip ball, and you just felt the energy just go crazy on the sideline. Well, that fed the offense. Now the offense felt it. Now they went out, and it's contagious. You have to create an edge out there. You have to create your own. That's what we did. And then in the end, shoot, it went down to that last play of being able to see that excitement.
Bears coach Matt Nagy right there. And I wanted to play that for you, Alyssa, because I just find that very interesting. The whole concept of finding energy down 23-6 in the fourth quarter. How in an empty stadium do you find the energy to make that comeback? You know what I mean? Most models had the Bears at a 2% win probability in that fourth quarter. I know you reported on that a lot on the Bears Wire, but I just found that really interesting. The Bears getting it done on the sideline, like figuring out how to get their energy up to make that comeback. That was awesome.
It really was. And I think, you know, you look at the leaders of this team, and I know during the broadcast, they showed Khalil Mack. It was a little earlier in the game, but, you know, really rallying the defense, pulling them aside after three quarters where you were getting whooped there by the Detroit offense. So, you know, pulling them aside, really stepping up. And something that I've noticed with Matt Nagy, there's a different culture. His guys never seem to give up on him, unlike Mark Trestman several years ago, where they had some just brutal games where they gave up 50 points a couple games in a row. So I think with Matt Nagy, the guys just keep playing. They don't ever give up. And it was really impressive. And obviously we saw that fight and the fourth quarter that it produced.
That's a good sign. Good sign for the Bears and a good sign for Mitchell Trubisky, right? And I think he proved Matt Nagy right in his decision to start this kid in week one. And you called it. You were all over it, Alyssa. You said Mitchell Trubisky was going to find a way against the Lions, and he did. He had a good game, but especially in that fourth quarter, 8 of 10, 89 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 143.3 passer rating. He led the team on an improbable comeback win, and that's got to go a long way in the locker room for them thinking, okay, this is our guy. He's going to be our leader.
It does, but at the same point, it felt like more of the same. It's the most frustrating thing about Mitchell Trubisky is that you look at what he can do in the fourth quarter. He puts up just those impressive moments. But then you look at what he did in the first three quarters where he struggled, where he had bad footwork. His accuracy was all over the place. He's throwing the ball behind receivers. You know, it's so frustrating. And you heard the calls for Foles early. And I wasn't surprised. I think that's going to be an ongoing theme throughout the year. But it just goes back to Trubisky's biggest flaw, which is his inconsistency. He needs to prove that he can do that throughout a game. And I think in the fourth quarter, you know, down 17 points, Trubisky's at his best when he's not thinking, when he's just going out there and reacting, playing backyard football. And we saw that. But like you said, you have to give him credit because he did battle back there. He threw 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I think it does buy him a couple more weeks at least. And it does give him confidence, which that's important because Trubisky is always, you know, he's a confidence guy. And I think that that's going to go a long way for him and the guys in the locker room.
So you're not sold, Alyssa. You're not sold. He's not your quarterback of the future yet. You're not ready to play that card.
I'm going to need to see more than him beating the Lions as usually does.
He needs to beat Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. He needs to beat the Packers or something like that, right?
Yeah. I'm going to need to see it sustained. I mean, he has a pretty favorable schedule coming up here, you know, playing the Giants this week. And we saw how that defense looked against the Steelers. It's favorable. And then things are going to get a little tougher. If he's still quarterbacking then, which, you know, we'll see. I'll be interested to see how he does against some of these tougher defenses.
Now, you mentioned the defense, and we talked about the D a different episode in our show earlier on about this defense maybe not being the same unit as it has been in the past, that same dominant unit. A little bit of a question mark right now, I think, coming into the season. I think we saw that a little bit against the Lions. I don't think the offense really helped the D out much, going 0-for-6 on third downs in the first half. You know, that's hard when the offense can't stay on the field. But what was your take on the defense? It seemed like, obviously, not a lot of pressure on Matt Stafford. They let up way too many yards to Adrian Peterson, who is he, 45 years old at this point? He ran for 93 yards. So there was definitely some issues on that side of the football. What's most concerning to you, Alyssa, on that?
The pass rush, I'd have to say, because, you know, again, going back to what they did in the offseason, getting rid of Leonard Floyd, bringing in Robert Quinn, who, I mean, he didn't play, but still, the pass rush, even last year without Akeem Hicks, you know, they did a decent job getting after the quarterback, but that's something that they're continuing to struggle with is the pass rush. And hopefully when Robert Quinn does come back, that, you know, they can get after the quarterback. And I think that they have a good chance to really right the ship this week against the Giants. I mean, we saw, you know, just how overwhelmed that the Giants offensive line was going against the Steelers. So, but I would say also their run defense was probably more alarming, actually, considering they had one of the best run defenses in the league last year. Obviously, they're without Eddie Goldman, who is just a brutal loss, and you could see just how much they were missing him. Mm-hmm. But you can't blame it just on Eddie Goldman. They have to rally around that. I mean, Akeem Hicks, they have Bilal Nichols, Roy Robertson Harris. These are guys that are solid in the run game. So I would say that would probably be one of my biggest concerns. And also, the inside linebackers need to play better.
As Alyssa alluded to, the Bears have a very favorable opponent coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about that coming up on the Bears Wire podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and Bet Slippin' Podcast, joined by Jeffrey Clark of those same two affiliations. And here's what you need to know about the Week 2 Monday Night Football matchup between the New Orleans Saints and Las Vegas Raiders. The Saints are minus 228 moneyline favorites. The Raiders are plus 190 home dogs. Saints laying minus 5.5 points. Raiders plus 5.5 on the other side. Jeff, how do you feel about Saints Raiders on Monday Night Football?
I love Saints to spoil Raiders Vegas debut and premiere. I'm a little nervous about Michael Thomas being out, of course, but Josh Jacobs is not going to be able to produce on the ground and get into the end zone, hit pay dirt as much as he was against the weak Carolina Panthers defense. I like the Saints to actually be key to victory due to their defense.
Give me the Raiders. Saints without Michael Thomas, that's a big loss. I'll take the Raiders at home, plus 5.5. They'll keep that within a field goal. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to Bet Slippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Alyssa, the Bears come home to play the New York Football Giants, where they're going to be 5.5 point favorites. The Giants are, they have problems. They have problems on the offensive line for sure. They had some problems defensively covering short crossing patterns over the middle where Ben Roethlisberger picked them apart. Daniel Jones looks okay, but this is a winnable game for the Bears. I got to like them in this spot at home, but what's your opening take on this matchup?
I think that this could be the game that they need to kind of just get on track, like especially the defense. Last week was less than ideal. They got absolutely gashed for three quarters and they, you know, kind of pulled it together at the end. But this could be a big game, not only for the defense to get on track, especially going against an offensive line that just absolutely struggled. And Saquon Barkley was held to 6 rushing yards. What even was that?
That was wild. So this could be a I will say this. I'm worried for a mad Saquon Barkley this week. So the Bears might have their hands full with Barkley. I actually think Barkley's going to have a big game.
That's what scares me, is that like he had such a bad game. And I'm like, you saw what a 45-year-old Adrian Peterson just did to them?
Yeah.
And now you have Saquon coming to town?
Yeah, not a good recipe right there.
No, but then looking at Daniel Jones, like you said, I mean, he looked decent. He's in his second year, another young quarterback. But, you know, he continues to struggle with turnovers. And I think that could be a big thing for the defense. You saw what the Bears secondary was able to do against the Lions, getting that key interception. And then I feel like Jalen Johnson could have some moments here. And the Giants themselves, they have a suspect secondary. And I think that this could be a great game for the Bears offense. Matt Nagy stressed the importance, and this goes back to last year, of getting off to a fast start, something that they weren't able to do. They did not score a touchdown in the first half 10 times last season.
Oh,
and again,
that?
Last week. It's pretty brutal.
That's tough.
So again, it's like Nagy's a broken record. Got to get off to a fast start. And that's something I think that Trubisky's going to be held to. If they cannot get off to these fast starts in the first half, that could cost him his job. Because they're going to come up against opponents that are not like the Lions, and that when they're up 17 points, they are going to pedal on the gas. They are not going to let you come back from that.
Alyssa Barbieri, always happy to throw some more flames on the Lions there. Just, you know, pile it on those Lions. Pile it on those Lions. But I hear
I
what
have,
you're saying.
I have family that are Lions fans, so like I have to.
Beautiful. So you can needle them a little bit. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, though. Let's see it for four quarters. I mean, as great as that fourth quarter was on Sunday, let's see it for four quarters against a team at home you should have your way with, your favorite to win. I think I got to like the Bears to win this game by at least a touchdown. Like that's what it should be. But we'll see. Can you do it for a full four quarters? That'll be the test.
Don't get me wrong. That fourth quarter was thrilling, and like I was standing the entire time. But like I don't want to see that happen every week. I want them to get it done in the first half, the first three quarters, so we don't have to deal with this. But, you know, this is an opponent they should take care of. I mean, last year when they played at Soldier Field, they kept the minute up there till the end. You know, it was pretty close. So hopefully this is an opponent where they could, you know, if they just take care of things early, shouldn't be a worry.
Here's hoping you get a break from the Allen Robinson stuff and you get a chance to actually, you know, do some work on this game leading up to it on the Bears Wire website, all right?
Absolutely.
All right, Alyssa, have a great week. Thanks for joining us on the Bears Wire podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.